Join us for Reverbathon 2024.
Help keep us independent and advert free.
We are live at Brighton Open Market on Saturday the 27th of April.
And also at the Hope and Ruin in Queen's Road on Sunday the 28th.
Come and join us.
On air, on 97.2 FM, on DAB Plus or at RadioReverb.com.
You can make a donation.
You can make a donation.
Or sponsor a show.
To find out more, go to RadioReverb.com.
Join us for Reverbathon 2024.
We are Radio Reverb.
We are Radio Reverb.
We are Radio Reverb.
We are Brighton.
We are Brighton.
We are Brighton.
We are Brighton.
Hello, good evening and welcome to everyone listening on this Thursday evening.
Yes, hello everybody.
Hello. Do you know, that introduction sounded like the world news from the wall.
I know, I was trying to emulate that, but whether it came out.
Not that I was in the wall, but I'm talking about the old movies, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. In the old times, Sue. Do you remember the old times, Stephen?
Yeah.
What? No, of course I don't. I'm only 21.
Again.
Yeah.
So welcome to the HIV Hour. Yes, we've got who's on the panel today? We've got myself, lovely Sue. Welcome, Sue, and Stephen. Stephen, you've been on the show for a while, have you? So it's been a while.
Been on for a while. No, I've been busy, but I am here. Yes.
Yeah. So good to have you on the show. And we're zooming it today, aren't we? Unfortunately, no David, Philip, or Tony. So they send their apologies. And yeah, so what have you been up to?
So what you've been up to much?
I'm going to go to you because you've been up to so much.
So you can... come on, Stephen, spill the beans.
There's a spotlight on me.
It is.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes.
Basically, some of you know that I wrote a one-man show many, many years ago called Shadow Dreamer. I took it to New York in 2010 and it ran for 9 months, which was unbelievable to me. It closed off Broadway. And I did everything that I felt I was going to do with Shadow Dreamer. But over the last couple of years, when I've been out doing public speaking, it comes up in conversation and quite a few people have said we would love to see it here in the UK. And you know the thing, Josh, it's funny because the thing was I didn't do it here in the UK because of self-stigma. You know, right. I was still dealing with, you know, I could do it in New York because it was far enough away to tell everybody that I was living with HIV, you know, but I wasn't. I didn't feel ready to be able to tell people here. Obviously, in the last 14 years, that has changed massively.
Yes.
So I have decided to try and do a UK tour of Shadow Dreamer. Dreamer trailer has just come out, which is really exciting because I'm really chuffed with it. It's, trying to get all my ideas into a minute and a half, but I had a great editor and a great person to work with to put that together. So the show is definitely going to be in Margate and Cumbria. They're the two places that have said definite, but I'm also looking for venues in London, Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, you know, all the big cities.
Brighton.
Brighton as well, yeah. Anywhere that will have me, Josh. You know,
do you want to do a shout out to them? Then, just how do they get in contact with you if there's anyone listening with the venue?
Yeah. So, if anybody's interested in helping me get Shadow Dreamer on the road, then it just contact me at hearttalks@yahoo.co.uk. That's HARTTALKS. At yahoo.co.uk and just let me know if you know of venues or know of people that have a space. So hopefully I'll be in a place near you very soon.
Brilliant. On the road.
On the road.
Do you have any, you've said some of those areas, any dates yet?
No, so no dates yet. That's still scheduling and everything is something that I've got to wait until I've got the venues and then kind of work the dates in around the venues. So, so no dates in the diary yet, but I'm hoping to kick it off by August.
I actually just want to wait. So did you mention what it's about, or are you just a little bit about it? Just so the listeners can hear and just, is that okay? Yes. Do you want to do that? Or?
Yeah, of course. I always find it a bit weird to say, oh, I wrote a story about my life. But I wrote a story about secrets. I wrote a story about growing up in an abusive family, you know, all very different types of abuse, and how I always had this dream and this belief that there was something better out there for me. And I used to watch The Waltons. And every time they said, good night, John Boy, good night, you know, I would think that's what I want. That's what I, you know, I'm looking for. And I decided to write it all down, Josh, and take it, you know, as I say, to New York. And I didn't think that anybody would really be interested. But obviously, Sue and I both know about how powerful our stories can be, mm-hmm. how useful they can be to people. So basically it's about my life story, and there's lots of highs, there's lots of lows, there's happy, there's sad, a bit of everything, you know. Yeah. So yeah.
Sounds amazing. So check this out.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome to the HIV Hour and today's guest, Sam Marshall, the skin guru. Sam is an educator, speaker, industry advisor and inclusion practitioner, and is currently working with the George House Trust to create a guide for the beauty industry to help develop diversity, equity and inclusion for people living with HIV in the UK. So thank you very much for being with us, Sam. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. It's so good to be here.
It is such an honour to speak to you. I've seen a lot of your work on Instagram and know a bit about your background. But for those listening who don't know, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
So I'm a beauty therapist. So that's the sector that I work within. And I'm also an educator. And I've managed to, by having a bit of a gob on me, get on some advisory boards. So I sit on the British Beauty Council DEI committee, and I'm an advisor for HABIA, which is a hair and beauty industry authority who set the standards. So I help rewrite waxing standards predominantly. That's kind of one of my specialisms. And also I kind of get to advise people on just how they can be a bit more inclusive generally.
So that could obviously take many forms. You mentioned there about diversity, equity and inclusion. Tell us a little bit more about what the three of those terms mean.
Absolutely, yeah. So diversity basically means difference. So diversity gets used in the wrong context a lot of the time. People kind of think diverse is just adding a black person to a speaker lineup, but it really isn't. So it's just having difference, celebrating difference. So a diverse workforce would be a workforce with different backgrounds, experiences, challenges, identities. And then equity is one of my favourite words. So equity used to be equality, and equality was giving everyone the same. So I do a shoe analogy on this. So equality is making sure everyone's got a pair of shoes, but equity is giving them shoes that fit them. So that's kind of the easy way with equity. So it's adapting it to those person's needs. And then inclusion is basically welcoming everyone and giving everyone I like to add the word belonging as well, because I think that's really, really important, that everyone feels like they belong. So definitely in the beauty sector, I want everyone that walks through my clinic door to feel like they belong in my business, and I would love that to happen everywhere else. So I do a lot of work with gender inclusion as well, and trans awareness, because that's something that I see there's a huge need for, and then of course the work around HIV awareness, which is huge at the moment.
Yes, yeah, so moving on to that, so this specifically with HIV awareness, what have you identified as problems within the beauty sector?
So I, as part of the LGBTQ plus community, I have a lot of friends living with HIV. And so I have a really good knowledge of it. And I understand that you really can't get it popping in for an eyebrow shape, which is just ridiculous. But what I noticed, first of all, it was on a consultation form for a really big brow company that came out probably about 10, 15 years ago. And it said, have you got HIV or AIDS? And I thought, oh, interesting. I don't think people, I mean, no one in the UK tends to have, you know, AIDS and trot out for a little eyebrow shape in the middle of feeling very, very poorly. So I was like, right, okay, why are we using both those words? And also, why have we got HIV on there? So I phoned up the brand and I said, hey, why is this on your form? And they said, Oh, yeah, you have to let the council know if you're going to treat someone with HIV. Obviously, I'm using that language because that's what they use. Or someone else said you have to double glove. And then someone else said, oh, beauty therapists can treat people with HIV, but brow stylists can't. So every time one of my friends went for training with this very big brow brand, I said, ask them when they talk about HIV, ask them why and get and tell me the answers. And they just kept coming back with all these different answers. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I phoned them up and I said, can I educate you on this? And they kind of were a bit I don't think I was their favorite person for a while, but they took it on board and it's come off the form now. But I still see it on so many forms. And when I ask the reason why, I get so many different answers and some of them just boggle my mind as to why people don't know about this. So there's a huge gap. And then also I've had friends that have been refused treatment. I've had a friend message me. He went for a massage with his partner and he said, Sam, this is on the form. Why is it on there? Now I feel really anxious through my massage. Should I tell them? Should I not tell them? So yeah, in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Wow, that's incredible. And how recently are we talking?
Being refused treatment probably maybe a couple of years ago, but it still happens all the time. So Georgia House Trust have done a survey. We found out that 79% of people had been asked their status and 52% of respondents had been refused a treatment or service based on their status, which obviously, as we know, breaks the Equality Act.
I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm honestly not. So a few years ago, I had a personal experience. I considered getting a hair transplant in Turkey, which many people did. It was coming out of COVID and it was that time where we were locked down, but you could actually still go abroad for beauty treatments. So I looked into it, I investigated, decided that I was going to do, which was quite an undertaking. I obviously discussed it with my family and friends and made that kind of decision to do it. Found a salon in Turkey that my friend had used and recommended and approached them, had a consultation with them, booked and paid a deposit for the treatment. It was only then did they ask for a medical questionnaire in which I disclosed that I was HIV positive. They then came back to me saying that they had to refuse the surgery because I was HIV STIP. I was honestly, and this is where I'll talk about the impact, I was devastated because I think for me, living with HIV for 7 or 8 years now, I'd never felt or experienced a barrier, something that it had stopped or prevented me from doing until this. And obviously being rejected and turned away from something is never nice. But in that situation, that's exactly what was happening. And I went back to them, I challenged them and said, you can't do this. They then actually came back to me to say, well, we can still offer you the treatment, but it will now cost twice as much because we need to get a specialist in to look after you. And I was like, why? I was like, I'm undetectable. If anything, I'm probably safer than anybody else coming into your surgery that doesn't know their status. And also, what safety measures and procedures are you not taking? Like, how safe am I going to feel coming in if you're not doing it across the board? So it actually put me off doing it. But I mean, this was a different scenario because obviously that was a Turkish company and they obviously, they have different procedures to a UK company. So there was very little I could do with regards to complaining or escalating a complaint. If we bring this back to the UK, what do you advise people to do if they have experienced this type of stigma in a UK-based business?
Yeah, so charities like George House Trust will advocate for you. So they will help advise on what you can do, because obviously it is breaking the Equality Act because HIV is covered under disability. Please reach out to me, because I am more than happy to phone up that salon and advise them on training, which is something that I know we're going to talk about, because there's some training coming out, which will also be free to everyone with a suggested charity donation, of course. So they were the things, but also I like people to ask why, because it really helps if they come back to me and say they told me it was because, then that helps me work out where the gaps are in the knowledge. Because in the beauty industry, we get taught that we should follow universal hygiene precautions or universal standards for everybody, regardless of what they may or may not have. We kind of, in colleges, they say, imagine someone has everything. But also, there's a massive gap in knowledge about U equals U and about undetectable status, because people still don't get it. And I had a great analogy the other day. I can't remember who it was, but someone said, it's like having asthma. It's a lifelong condition. You have medication every day. You can't pass it to anyone. And you live a normal, in fact, you probably live a healthier, happier life with HIV, living with HIV, than you do with asthma, because asthma is a bit more debilitating. So if we start thinking of it like that, rather than how we saw it in the 80s and 90s, and we need to reframe HIV as not being something that should carry all this stigma that it does.
Absolutely. I often compare it to diabetes, which
yes,
is
that's a great one.
Yeah, because it can be controlled, and it's something that you just have to monitor. But yeah, that's brilliant advice for people who have that kind of courage to clap back and obviously speak up and ask why. But as you've discovered, and as I felt, in a lot of these circumstances, you just feel ashamed, and you're kind of you have that initial rejection, which can come with shock or surprise because you weren't expecting it. But what you're saying is, if they can and are able to challenge it and ask why, and if they can't, they've obviously got fantastic resources. You, and that's an incredibly kind offer to, like, obviously reach out.
Absolutely.
But yeah, tell us a little bit more about the work you are doing with George House Trust and this training program that you've got coming up.
Yeah, sure. So I am a member of George House Trust. So I approached them. It was actually, I think, when the question was on the consultation form, it was probably about 10 years ago. Because I said the other day, I was like, I've been banging this drum for 10 years. And I remember going to George House Trust going, hey, can I come and work with you? Can I do things? And they kind of like, I don't think they got my mission back then. So it was probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I became a member. And then I started doing work with them. And they're just the most phenomenal team. And there's not many of them as well. So they work so hard. And I said, I want a guide for the beauty industry. I want something that we can put out there that's black and white. You can't do this. You should do this. You can do this. And obviously, we need the education to back that up as well. So we've now created an education it's 4 modules. It's hopefully going to be an hour long as a live. We've got our first one tonight, which is a pilot, which is very exciting. And then I also want to have it as an online things like a self-study, because I really want to get this training out to everyone in the industry. And that's not just beauty, it's hair and barbering as well. Because I went to learn cutthroat shaving once. I thought, I can do this. This looks quite fun. So I went, and there was quite an elderly gentleman teaching it. And in the hair and barbering world, they don't have as rigid consultation process as we do in the beauty world, even though they regularly cut people, not on purpose, obviously, but by accident, which I find there's a real mismatch there. That's another story. And he said in the consultation, I stand behind them, I put my hand on their shoulders and I say, sir, have you got HIV? And they will say no. And I will say, neither do I. And I literally sat there and went, are you kidding me? And they kind of, all the students just looked at me and I went, are you for real? That's what you're going to ask. And they were just like, and then I kind of tried to educate them. But even then it was a bit of a, they kind of were looking at me like, yeah, I don't think I believe you. And I was like, if someone knows their status, they, you can't catch HIV off them. For goodness sake, treat everyone the same. Wear gloves. Follow precautions. If you have a needle stick injury or you cut yourself, go to A&E. Doesn't matter if it's 80-year-old Mrs. Smith or someone that's like promiscuous. It really doesn't matter. We should treat everyone the same. So, yeah, it needs to go across all the sectors. But the training is going to be free to everyone with a suggested and obviously highly encouraged charity donation, because I really think people should give back to a charity if we're giving them some free training. And then they'll get a shiny certificate that's going to be accredited by HABIA, which is the Hair and Beauty Industry Authority. And hopefully then we can contribute towards ending new transmissions by, is it 2030? I think we're aiming for.
That is our aim, with Terence Higgins just leading the thought there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, that's brilliant to know. And obviously, part of that is what you try to educate and inform is the use of language and the appropriate language. And obviously, you posted a brilliant, I think it came from George House Trust, a kind of guide to what appropriate language is used. So that's something you kind of want to encourage businesses to adopt as well, isn't it?
Oh, hugely. I mean, if I see suffer from on one more consultation form, we're not suffering. We're not. We're just, you know, living with. But even, I mean, what as well I always say is the question around anything around HIV or AIDS, which is just still really weird that that's on there, is take it off your form. Doesn't need to be on your form. It doesn't make any difference. And what I do in the training is bust the myth. So people living with HIV heal at exactly the same rate as people who don't live with HIV. Medication does not affect the skin. It does not affect pigment in tattooing. And if it does, it affects it in the same way that antidepressants, you know, loads of other medication does. So unless you're a pharmacist, we don't know. Because that's obviously the thing I get back. It's like, well, I need to know the medication. I'm like, well, ask them what medication they're on. Don't ask their HIV status. Different question. So all these are kind of, and people thinking if they get a blood spot from waxing and they've cut their finger in the morning. And I'm like, do you come to work with a gaping wound? Don't we just cover it with a plaster and put some gloves on? Like, we don't hold a gaping wound on top of a client's bleeding blood spot and hope our body vacuums it up. It's just really, it's passed down through the ages, like an urban myth.
Yeah.
That we're going to catch all these things from our clients. And there actually hasn't been a needle stick injury that has passed on HIV since 1999.
So when you are approaching these businesses, how are you finding their reaction?
Oh, when I challenge if they've got it on their form?
Yeah.
Right. So there was one actually, and I'll name them because they're amazing. The skincare company called DMK. And they had it on their form and I used their products and I went to them and I'm really kind. You know, I say, can I just educate you on this? It shouldn't be on there. And they booked a positive speaker, paid for the positive speaker and put out training for their whole network and took it off the form. Now that's just leading by it. They're incredible. I was so proud of them. But then some other companies, it can be a slower burn. I've been having challenges with electrologists because a lot of electrologists were trained kind of 30 or 40 years ago, which is when we were all terrified of HIV, weren't we? We had all those horrible adverts on telly and everything. So that's kind of taking a bit more to get the education out there. But they've actually asked me to speak at their annual conference in, I think it's in May. So hopefully by the end of that little chat, I'll have them all kind of all educated and taken it off their forms.
That's brilliant. I think the main message that you tried to put across is that it is your status. Your status equals your business.
Yes, I came up with that. I was so proud of that line. And it is. It's none of our business. None of our business. I've never disclosed if I'm living with HIV or not. It's irrelevant. You know what I mean? completely irrelevant, doesn't make a difference. We don't need to know. It's just so personal, isn't it?
It is, exactly.
But one thing, actually, that one of the positive speakers, Anita, who I'm actually with tonight, is she likes to tell people she's proud of her status and she's proud of the fact that she's, you know, happily living with HIV. But she said, I'm happy for people to know, but it's my job to tell them, not their job to ask.
Amazing. That has been brilliant, honestly. I've got so much out of that. You must get so much out of going into these businesses and helping. It's fantastic to hear of your progress. We'd like to play a song of your choice. What have you got picked for us?
So a song I always love to play, if we're talking about anything around DEI, is Respect by Erasure. So if we could play that, please.
A little Respect. One of my favourites. I'm a huge 80s kid, so that's big on my list. But yes, thank you again. And where can people contact you if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is SkinGuruSam. And then on Facebook, I've got Sam Marshall Education. So I'm quite easy to find. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Sam Marshall. But if you any George House Trust beauty posts, I'll be tagged in it or things like that. So I'm quite easy to find. So please, you know, anyone that has listened to this and has experiences and just please reach out. I'm more than happy to chat and help you.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM, DAB Plus, and RadioReverb.com. So what do you think of Philip's interview with Sam? It's very interesting, isn't it?
Do you know what? As I was listening to the interview, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have a situation in a couple, well, in May, I'm going away on a surprise spa break with my partner. Who knows? I'm positive.
Is it surprising you or? You shouldn't know
that's,
that.
That's the issue. But what I'm starting to even think about, when you go to these spa treatment places, for some reason you have to fill out a form to see what health conditions you got. Why? I do not know. And I know if that is put to me, I'm going to question them and maybe show my partner up, because I cannot, you know, unless I be quiet and say nothing and then have a go at them afterwards after I've had my treatment, I don't know. So I'm already thinking myself, oh, do you have HIV? Or in some of the places, do you have AIDS? Can I just say,
yeah.
Are you on AIDS medication? Yeah, so I'm already thinking of that. I mean, goodness no. I mean, on saying that, we as an organisation, Positive Voices, Tone and Signature, just we are starting to look into things like that. Why is that necessary? Why, you know, are they asking those questions when you go for a massage? You know, there was a colleague of ours that actually, the masseur, I don't know whether you heard about this, Stephen, but it was Eugene, they put a pair of rubber gloves on to massage him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You go there for the relaxation, the mental health, well-being. And I remember him saying, I felt she sort of stopped and then the hands felt different and there were rubber gloves on. So anyway, no, it was really interesting interview, and it's something we need to tackle, because that should not still be happening.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I'm diabetic, as everybody knows, as well. And for me, then, yes, massage can encourage your blood sugar to drop. So, for conditions like diabetes, I can understand it. But as you say, mm-hmm. Sue, for HIV, why? Why is, you know, because that's, you know, there's things that, those things aren't going to affect us. So why should we have to declare it on the form? You know, we're not a risk to anybody. Yeah.
It goes back to those times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Back to the 80s and those times of
myths and misconceptions, I think.
I think if it doesn't affect you, like any condition, if it's not in your life, then you don't really think about it, do you? You don't affect you. But I think in situations like that, where you get different kind of people in different life circumstances, it needs to change, doesn't it?
And obviously finishing off on that. Watch this space. I'll give an update in May whether I've been able to show them up or I've had to not fill in nothing. So I'll give you everyone an update.
Cool. So, what would you say to people, to listeners who are listening, and how you would interact and challenge that? Would you challenge these things?
I've personally, on many occasions, I've spoken, you know, not loud and proud like I normally do, but I take whoever aside and get them to question it. And I've also, on occasions, have you got a therapist manager or something I can speak to?
Yeah.
And just to line that, and I've said, you know, do you realise, you know, what you're putting down, what you're asking people to do is discriminatory, you know, and a lot of the feedback I've had from that is, oh, you know, we just get the forms and, you know, from whoever. So it's from another power above that they've got to do that. But that also gives them the wrong information as well. That means puts them on tenterhooks, doesn't it, Steve? That, you know, that's what they're saying, oh, that I must do this and put my rubber gloves on. So, but I've had many sort of, you know, sisters and friends, oh my goodness, she's at it again, but I can't help it. But I do it discreetly. I don't show them up. I pull whoever aside. And but you know, not everyone's able to do that because it's quite challenging. So yes, I understand.
You must get people off, Mary, or they might just don't want to go there again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's education, exactly. Sam was saying, I think, educating, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did you want to talk about something? There's something on your mind, Sue, isn't it?
Yes, I want to ask everybody in your mind. Wherever you are. Now, I had my 6 months checkup with a consultant that we have twice a year, and I do. And one of the conversations we had was from my consultant, which I truly have faith and trust in, and you know, I've had for many, many years. Very fortunate that I've had the same one. She has put the question to me from there's new studies and new statistics about statins, and she says, I have to have that discussion with you. And what she was saying to me is that what the new thing is, what the new recommendation is now, that anyone who is age 40 and over living with HIV, the recommendation now is to go on statins. It doesn't matter whether you've got, high cholesterol, it's not that. Any person now living with HIV over the age of 40, the recommendation is to go on statin. Well, of course, I had a big conversation with her, didn't I? So, and I had all the ins and outs, and and what are the side effects? And that really, and I probably will do, because I have faith in my consultant, but I don't know if... It was a trigger, a slight trigger for me. And I just want to know anyone out there who's listening. Obviously, they're going to be having these conversations with everybody living with HIV, because these are the new guidelines from the Beaver guidelines. You know, it's all, you know, recommended, documented. I thought, well, I'm asked, that's another reminder for me that I'm living with HIV and I'm more prone. But I know it's for the best and the good, but... anyone else had a similar conversation with a consultant yet? Any Stephen, have you had?
Yeah, so about 6-8 months ago, so was when it was brought up to me.
Right.
And what I was told is that the because it's a preventative, they're gonna try and roll it out for everybody. Really, I think we're at the top of the queue, but I think that it's going to be a thing that's rolled out to everybody of 40 above eventually. And I wasn't sure, like you, Sue, I was very like, is this right? Is this safe? Is this, do I need them? Do I need to be on another tablet? But, you know, I like you, Sue, I've been with my HIV doctor for many, many years. And she said to me, Stephen, it's the safer option. She said you don't have to go on them.
No, that's right, you don't have to.
But it's advisable. So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, so I went on them about 6-8 months ago.
Right, okay.
Joshua, you're on them as well.
Yeah, I've gone on them. Again, through my HIV advisor's advice, really. It is difficult, isn't it? Because we do take tablets, and it's like another tablet to think about, and what's it doing to me? What, you know, what the side effects are? And I've taken them for probably the same as you, actually, in 6 months. But I don't know whether if I've got any side effects, to be honest. And there's nothing standing out about it. As you say, it's just another tablet that reminds you you've got HIV. But at the same time, if it helps, I think...
And just, I think what I forgot to mention is just to reiterate to some people that may not know too much about statins. And to be honest, I didn't know too much about it. So basically, these are drugs that are help you from not having a stroke or heart attack.
Yes.
So that... I should have said that from the start. Yeah. So obviously, and to be honest, she was telling me about the stats and everything, and they're really good stats in the research that they've done, you know, and she knows that nothing will get passed through me, you know, when I question her. So, you know, it's very...
Jam a bad floor, Sue.
But, do you know what I mean? And I said to her, and I said, look, I said, if you were me, what would you be doing if I was giving you the advice? I said, and she said, well, obviously it's your choice at the end of the day, but I would be saying yes, Sue. And right. You know, we don't, yeah. And that, and I will go with it. I just wanted to go home and just think about it, and what have you, you know, a few other people. And I've spoken to you guys today, and I just wondered if anyone else has had or is probably maybe having that conversation soon with their consult, because they will be having conversations with all their HIV patients. So yeah, interesting. But
yeah, yeah, I think it's connected to age as well, isn't it?
It reminds us
we're getting older, you know.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, so
exactly.
It's, yeah,
exactly, yeah. Yeah.
97.2 FM Radio Reverb.
Hi guys, welcome back to the HIV Hour. It's Tony, one of the presenters, and I'm joined here continuing the series on Lunch Positive, the deep dive into the community-based service. Hi Gary, how are you this evening?
Hi Tony, yeah, I'm brilliant, thanks. You?
I'm doing all right. I've just come back from my holiday. So, just getting back into the throes of things. So yeah, so tonight we're going to actually be speaking about your Brighton Tuesday drop-in. So... do you want to tell us a little bit more about it? And also, what is the aim of the drop-in, Gary?
Sure. So the Tuesday drop-in, as it says, is a service that we provide on a weekly basis every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it started about a year and a half ago at the kind of onset of the cost of living crisis as a regular warm hub for people, you know, a place mm-hmm. for people to come along to save on heating at home, to get a meal, and basically to kind of, you know, just help manage, you know, at times when people's income is being really stretched. And since then it's continued, and it still acts as that kind of warm hub, particularly in the winter and, you know, the colder months. But it's now become a space where people can come along. It's an additional day of togetherness, a space for people to socialize and to break the cycle of social isolation. Mm-hmm. And the aim of it really is to provide people with, you know, a space where people can have a meal, talk to other people, and importantly, they can get additional support.
Yeah.
Okay. through a support worker and some of the other services that we link in with. So that's the aim of it.
Okay. And going on from that, what support is available? And you know, what kind of things happen there? Have you got, you know, what kind of things are available there for the service users?
Sure. Well, one of the great things about the drop-in is that obviously our usual volunteer team puts it together. So we have some kitchen volunteers and some volunteers in on the front of house area. Mm-hmm. But the actual session itself is put together by many of the people that come along. So people can just drop along at any time, and you know, depending on what time of day that they come along, they might want to help us set the space up, to lay up the tables, to meet and mm-hmm. greet other people, or they might just want to come along and be part of the service, which is absolutely fine as well.
Yeah.
But it's a really uplifting space to be in, because you know that everything that's happening in that space is being provided by other people living with HIV who have shared lived experience, but also shared experiences that have driven them to come along. So, you know, that might be loneliness, that might be feeling low, that might be not having much money or having much food, or might just be wanting to be with other people. And but you'll know that you'll meet other people like there, you know, who have that similar experience. So it's set up by people living with HIV for our own peer group. And what happens there is that people will meet other people, but never forced to, you know, to socialize when people don't want to. It's a very kind of easygoing space. We serve a hot meal. There's plenty of food to take away. Our food bank is open. And also, quite importantly, we have our support worker there. So the support worker is available to provide advice and information on other services that are available, and also to link people in with us, other support that might be benefit support or housing support or whatever it may be. So a social space with enhanced support through our worker, just something that's very kind of uplifting and embracing to be part of.
And this is all being delivered by people with HIV, so you know, including like guys and girls in your kitchens and people doing serving staff and reception staff and stuff like that. So how do people get involved and how do people join this service?
Brilliant. Well, the service is provided from our usual base, which is in central Brighton at Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, just off St. James's Street. All that information around where we are and you know, how to find us are on our website, lunchpositive.org. So people can have a look at that. If people want to look on social media, then we've got a Facebook page. Yeah. Again, just look up Lunch Positive and it'll pop up. And importantly, if anybody is having kind of regular contact with their clinician, you know, their consultant or their nurse, then all of the local HIV services know of the support we provide, and they can give you more information, point you in our direction, and if needed and it helps you, though it's not necessary at the outset for us, if it would help to have a referral, they can refer you on. But as I say, because it's a drop-in, we know the doors are open, and then people can just come along as and when suits them, really. Every Tuesday.
Excellent. And is there a cost for this involved? Is there, do people have to pay for this, or is it a free of service or donation?
So all services we provide are free. People can make a donation if they're able and they would like to for towards the cost of lunch. But again, you know, there's no expectation that all people will do that. And most important thing to us is that people come along and, you know, enjoy the experience of being with other people living with HIV, and take what they personally want to take from it.
I think that's it. You get from an experience or an event what you want to get out of it, whether you take away, you know, the support or the camaraderie of being with other people with HIV, or the support just generally in the room. I know that I've got a lot of support from Lunch Positive myself personally. And it's always a really safe space to go and, just be embraced by a community that, you know, there isn't much of a community out there, but I know Lunch Positive do an amazing job in East and West Sussex. So, yeah, it's great. So we're going to put the links on the HIV Hour and obviously for Gary. And we'll put a little write-up on the Facebook page for the HIV Hour. Is there anything else you want to add to this, Gary?
No, that's fantastic. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, it's been really helpful sharing that information because, you know, for us, it's all about reaching people. So really appreciate all the help that the HIV Hour is giving. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary. Cheers.
Thanks a million.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.FM in the Brighton area.com online, and also you can get our amazing famous podcasts.
So some set news this week, isn't there? One of your speakers, isn't he, Simon? Could you just talk about that?
I mean, you knew him in other capacities as well, didn't you, Stephen? You knew Simon. You'd done work for lots of other charities in London, didn't you? You may have a more of a thing about him than, I mean, I only met him a few times being a Positive Voice speaker, but he passed away a few weeks ago and his funeral was yesterday. And he did so much work for different charities within HIV, and I remember I can't remember the charity in London, but he dressed up as Santa Claus. Do you remember that one, Steve?
Yeah, I remember that one. And he did that for a number of years, Sue. National AIDS Trust, you know, all the organisations. He talked for, he did courses with, I did a few courses with him at different organisations. So he's a real sad loss to the world of advocacy in HIV, definitely.
But I seen quite a few people from all the different organisations in London, and THC went to represent him. Brilliant. And he was always a great sort of inspiration to other people that were going through the storytelling for being a positive voice speaker. You always championed them on, and gave them his words of wisdom, which was really nice. And he was said to be one of the kindest persons there was. And he had quite a nice name, didn't he?
His full title was Simon Horvat Markovic.
That's the name, isn't it? That's
a little bit of flair to go with somebody.
So love to his family and friends, So we got a bit of community news. Shall I just go on and start reading a few bits?
We've
got the Reverbathon to talk about as well at the end, because that's in a couple of weeks, so we'll have to meet them and talk about that. So this is in London. It's called the Living Museum of Emotional Archives. So, register it. So it's a free workshop. And the project consists of collaborative exhibition where, through testimonies and personal archives, the memory and social experience of the Latino community that lives with or supports individuals with HIV is presented. So this is scheduled for tonight. The first one's tonight. Then it's tomorrow, 19th, 25th, and the 26th of April, and the 2nd and 3rd of May from 6 till 8:30. Drinks and snacks are provided. If you're interested, there's more details and info on their Instagram, which is at e.archives.hiv, or you can email them at livingmuseumhiv@gmail.com. The Lawson Unit, they're looking for women aged 40 to 65 who live in Brighton, Hastings or Eastbourne. They want to know your views on women's health and wellbeing services. So who is everybody who self-identifies as a woman aged 40 to 65? To thank them, you'll get a £25 high street voucher for participating, which is always a good incentive, isn't it? You can talk in a focus group or one-to-one with a researcher. So if you're interested, contact Kirsten. I think that's Kirsten. So that's kirsten.simmons@nhs.net. You can always ring the Lawson Unit and talk to the reception, which is 664-722-01273. I always get that. Or actually, you can phone Kirsten on 01273-696-955, extension 63082. I've been doing the No Barriers. Have you heard of that? So from THT and Mary Kerry. I think we had her on the show, didn't we, Louisa?
Yes, it was before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I've been doing the first workshops, which consists of three workshops over 3 weeks, talking about end of life care and palliative care, and just doing it. So I did my second one this week. It's really interesting. I mean, it's not a nice subject to talk about, but how they do it is they do it through art. And I really recommend it. It's a really good and fun course. It's really nice people. There was two more workshops, one in May and one in June. Another incentive, you get £30 a session. And your travel expenses. So that's one of the reasons why that's a good reason to do it. So if you're living with HIV between 50 and 80, you have to attend face-to-face in Brighton at the THT offices. And you can do the three consecutive workshops. And you're interested. And it's 2 hours, so between 11 and 2. I'll just give you the dates quickly. The May workshops, 10th of May, 17th of May and 24th of May. And then the June one is 12th, 19th and 26th of June. But you have to book in. So to register, you can email Tim Holt, tim.holt@tht.org.uk, or Michael Brimicombe, so that's michael.brimicombe@tht.org.uk. So we're coming to the end of the show. At the beginning of the show, we played the, because the Reverbathon's on next week, the Radio Reverbathon next weekend. So we played the trail at the beginning. So we're doing a live show, aren't we?
We are.
Yes. This is going to be at the Radio Reverb Studios in the Open Market in Brighton. But we're doing a live show on Sunday, the 28th of April. So,
April.
So the actual Reverbathon is Saturday, the April the 27th, is at the Open Market. The whole, and then Sunday at the Hope and Ruin Pub, which is up on Queen's Road. You have all your favourite presenters, people doing different things. So it's really interesting to... be exciting. If you want to donate, which is really the really important bit, go to radioreverb.com.
See you later, everyone.
Bye bye.
Hey everyone, bye. Have a good week. Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.